But I think we're joined now by Zafar Benkash. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Thank you very much, Zafar. We have urgent matters that we think only you can tell us about with some authority. A lot of people are down at the CBC building talking about it, but we know they've never been there or been as close to it as you have been. There has been two ships, they say, were struck by something in the Gulf of Oman. And within a matter of, well, just put the minutes together, there was a meeting going on, scheduled to start between Ayatollah Khamenei and the Prime Minister of Japan. One of the two vessels was a Japanese vessel. Minutes later, Pompeo, the former CIA and now the Secretary of State, he said Iran has hit these ships. And, you know, this is a serious crisis. I know you don't actually believe that yourself. This is Zafar Benkash at Crescent International. Please look him up. But what do you think of this story, Zafar?
Well, as you rightly mentioned, that the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was actually meeting Iran's leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, and at about the same time, these two ships were hit. Now, one of them, Kokuka Courageous, was a Japanese ship registered.
What a coincidence.
Yes, absolutely, registered in Panama. And it was heading to Japan via Singapore to deliver not exactly crude oil, but naphtha. Mm-hmm. And the other ship, the earlier ship, First Altair, that was also carrying its cargo to Japan. And of course, the Japanese Prime Minister, he had met Trump in Tokyo a few days earlier, in fact, on Monday, and this incident occurred last Thursday. On Monday, the Japanese Prime Minister had offered to Trump that he would like to defuse tensions with Iran. And Trump said, okay, you can do so. And so the Japanese Prime Minister, on his first ever visit to Japan in 40 years since the Islamic Revolution in Iran, was in Tehran meeting senior officials when these attacks occurred. And as you pointed out, within a few hours of these attacks on the ships, Pompeo claimed that their intelligence and the method of the attack, et cetera, the standard, excuses that they offered, that Iran was responsible. Mm-hmm. Whereas what is interesting to note is that the captain of the Japanese ship, as well as the owner of the Japanese ship, said that flying objects had hit their ships, hit their ship, whereas the Americans said that mines had hit these ships. Now, if the mines had hit them, they would have hit them below the water level, whereas the ships were hit on the, particularly the Japanese vessel was hit on the starboard side above the waterline. Now, it's also important for your listeners to keep in mind that the starboard side, the ships were heading south. So the starboard side was not on the side of the Iranian coast. It was on the other side where the American ships were.
Uh-huh.
And so I think this technical detail, and according to the testimony of the captain of the ship himself, who was on the ship, he knew exactly what hit them. He said, projectiles in the air were fired at his ship, and three projectiles had hit his ship, and there were no Iranian vessels on that side. So this allegation against Iran is utterly false, but regrettably, there are certain people within the United States, Pompeo is one of them, John Bolton, the National Security Advisor, who for 20 years has been calling for war against Iran. And by the way, Bolton and Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, these two individuals are on the payroll of the Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization. They pay them massive amounts of money to address their so-called annual conferences that they hold in Paris. And neither of these two individuals has registered as foreign agent with the, you know, under the Foreign Agent Registration Act. So they are actually taking money from this terrorist organization, Mujahideen-e-Khalq, and peddling war against Iran, because that is what the Mujahideen-e-Khalq organization wants.
Yeah. And Zafar, you know, the last time I saw a publication or an account of that meeting where they would be, that this organization, terrorist organization in Paris, Bolton was there, but also the former intelligence chief of Saudi Arabia was there.
Absolutely.
And he was considered the star of the show, because I've watched some of it, including former Democratic Party leaders in the U.S., and they all said, wasn't his speech wonderful?
Exactly.
And there couldn't be a more sinister figure than this guy.
Yes.
And they were all thought it was a big thing that he was now publicly joining with Bolton.
Yes.
And Bolton promised, did he not, that the Islamic Republic would be overthrown. And he set a date that they were going to overthrow.
That is correct, yes. In fact, he had said that the Islamic Republic would not be able to celebrate its 40th anniversary, which was this year, in February of 2019.
So he's not a prophet.
That's right. And he said that we are going to be celebrating, quote-unquote, the liberation of Iran, and that it would, of course, become another, once again, a U.S. colony. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention, as you mentioned, about Turki Al-Faisal, who was the former intelligence chief of Saudi Arabia. This man is an extremely dangerous character. He has been involved even with the present regime. He's considered to be one of its advisors. He's the one who has been advocating for the overthrow of the legitimately established government in Iran. That shady character has been involved in all kinds of other terrorist groups, including ISIS in Syria, together with Bandar bin Sultan, another shady Saudi character. So you see that all of these characters that have a very checkered history, a very dubious record, are all together in trying to instigate a war against Iran with a view to overthrowing the legitimately established government over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to add that, you know, they have been trying this for the last 40 years, and they haven't succeeded. And I'm going to make a prediction. I don't like making predictions, but I'll make this one, that the Saudi regime would fall far earlier than Iran's present government ever falling at all.
And some other governments, too.
Absolutely.
Speaking to Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net. Zafar, I appreciate that. And we have to ask you, we've just had the news today that the former president of Egypt, who was in court, died in a courtroom today. Can you tell us who he was and what kind of career does he represent?
Well, you're referring to President Mohamed Morsi.
Mohamed Morsi, yes.
Who was the first ever elected president of Egypt, first ever in its entire history. And this was the first time in the year 2012, following the overthrow of Mubarak dictatorship, after the massive street protests, that Mohamed Morsi was elected the president of Egypt. But, of course, the military in Egypt that had been in power for decades did not want any civilians to be in power. So he was overthrown in July of 2013. And ever since, he was kept in solitary confinement for 23 hours out of 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, a delegation of British parliamentarians went to visit him, and they found out that his condition was deteriorating because he suffered from high blood pressure, he was diabetic, and they predicted, they said that the Egyptian regime, the current regime, wants to kill him by denying him medication, by denying him access to his family, by denying him access to fresh air. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened today when he was brought to court once again to face a raft of charges, including treason. Can you imagine? I mean, the president of a country, elected president, is charged with treason and espionage.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wanted to address the court, and the judge said, okay, you can address the court. While he was addressing the court, he fainted, and he was brought and locked up in a cage inside a court. That's how they humiliate elected representatives of the people. Mm-hmm. And he was an elected president.
Yes.
So he was in a cage as if he's an animal. He collapsed, he fainted, and he died over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has happened. And a number of people have said that the regime has killed him. The regime is responsible for it. And in fact, a number of, you know, world leaders, including the Turkish president, have already called him a martyr, as well as, you know, representatives of...
It has the earmarks of a potential crisis when, you know, somebody, because as you pointed out, my understanding is he also, when he addressed court, he always said, I need doctors, I need medication, and they always ignored him, so,
Absolutely, that's exactly what throughout, even his son, Abdullah, had called on a number of occasions that the government should allow doctors to visit him in prison and provide him proper medication, but the government just simply...
You know, just on the level of prisoners' rights, that should be a fundamental thing that needs to be talked about. We have Mr. Assange now, who is... Oh, there are reports of his health issues, and I would think there would be in isolation for so long.
Exactly.
And you know, you're not outside, and you're not able to get independent medical care. The world should pay attention and should insist on basic rights for any prisoner, no matter what the accusation or charge.
Absolutely. I mean, they want to kill Julian Assange also in this manner, that they would say, well, he died of, you know, heart attack or whatever natural causes, and we have nothing to do with it. So this is a terrible thing that they are doing to these people.
Well, Zafar, we're very glad we could talk to you about these matters. You did write the book, The Fall of the House of Saud, am I right?
The Doomed Kingdom of the House.
The Doomed Kingdom. That's a better title. See, I have dumb titles. You had a good one. I hope people will turn to that. And Zafar, thank you very, very much again for talking to us today.
It's my great pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Okay. Taylor Report, CIUT. We have reached 6 o'clock, and I hope the Raptors can now go home and relax. And I hope they all come back next year. Every single one. I have got nothing against any of them. Sam, thanks very much. And Phil, and we'll see you next week.